Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Farnsworth's Classical English Argument is a nonfiction guide to the art of argument and persuasion, written by legal scholar Ward Farnsworth. It belongs to his Classical English series, which examines the methods and virtues of earlier English language writing and public speech. This volume focuses specifically on argumentation, how people reason, counter, refute, qualify, and provoke in disputes. Rather than offering abstract theory alone, the book assembles examples from the golden age of English and American public discourse, roughly from the 18th through early 20th centuries, and uses them to classify common argumentative moves. The result is both a reference work and a practical handbook. Readers encounter familiar forms such as syllogism, enthymeme, slippery slope reasoning, circularity, ad hominem attack, reductio ad absurdum, and related fallacies. The book's purpose is not only to improve one's own debating skill, but also to make readers more alert to how arguments work, fail, and persuade in public life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, argument as a system of recognizable moves, not just opinions. The book's central idea is that argument can be studied as a pattern of recurring moves rather than as a loose exchange of views. Farnsworth does not treat disagreement as an undifferentiated clash of positions. Instead, he isolates the techniques that speakers and writers use to advance a case, undermine an opponent, or redirect attention. This approach makes the book useful because it teaches recognition before it demands performance. A reader learns to identify whether a claim depends on premises that are stated or unstated, whether a reply attacks the reasoning or the person, and whether a statement is trying to prove too much or too little. That methodical framing matters because many arguments fail not from lack of passion, but from confusion about structure. By organizing the subject into types of argumentative action, Farnsworth turns a common human activity into something analyzable and teachable. The practical implication is clear: people who can name the move are better equipped to test it, answer it, or use it carefully themselves. Secondly, classical English examples as a training ground for rhetoric. A distinctive feature of the book is its reliance on historical examples from public debate in England and America during what Farnsworth treats as a high period of rhetorical skill. The examples are not included for ornament alone. They show how abstract argumentative patterns operate in real speeches, parliamentary exchanges, political writing, and literary prose. Figures such as Burke, Lincoln, Churchill, Mill, and others appear because their language demonstrates controlled force, wit, and precision. This historical method gives the book a double value. First, it preserves memorable examples that make the categories easier to understand. Second, it places argument inside a tradition of public speech where force was expected to coexist with restraint and style. That combination matters because readers see that argument is not merely logical arithmetic. It also involves tone, timing, and tact. Farnsworth's choice of older material, therefore, does more than illustrate. It models a standard of seriousness in which disagreement can be sharp without becoming crude and persuasive without abandoning dignity. Thirdly, from syllogism to slippery slope, the mechanics of reasoning. Several chapters are devoted to the internal mechanics of reasoning, especially forms that are easy to admire in theory, but easy to mishandle in practice. The book treats syllogistic thinking, enthymemes, and related structures as tools for seeing how conclusions are reached. It also explores moves like slippery slope arguments, circular reasoning, and reductio ad absurdum, all of which depend on how a speaker connects one claim to another. These devices are important because they reveal the difference between valid inference and rhetorical force. A slippery slope may be alerting the audience to a genuine chain of consequences, or it may be exaggerating causal links. A reductio can expose hidden assumptions, but only if the counterexample is logically disciplined. A syllogism can clarify a case, yet it may conceal unsupported premises if the steps are not examined. Farnsworth's treatment is valuable because it shows these forms as living instruments rather than schoolroom labels. The reader is encouraged to ask not just whether an argument sounds plausible, but whether its logical movement actually earns its conclusion. Fourthly, fallacies, insults, and the ethics of combative speech. The book does not idealize argument as sterile rationality. It pays attention to the harsher and less noble parts of dispute, including fallacies, personal attacks, and insult. That inclusion is important because real argument often mixes logic with aggression, and readers need to know how such tactics function. Farnsworth's analysis helps distinguish between a legitimate criticism of a person's relevance, credibility, or conduct and a mere ad hominem assault meant to distract from the issue. He also shows how circularity, irrelevance, and similar errors can be used to create the appearance of proof without actually providing one. By placing insults alongside fallacies, the book suggests that rhetoric has an ethical dimension as well as a technical one. Argument is not only about winning, but about the means by which winning is sought. The historical examples reinforce this point by showing that earlier debaters could be severe while still observing a kind of public discipline. The book thus teaches not only how to detect bad argument, but also how to think about the standards of civility that make disagreement productive rather than merely destructive. Lastly, a practical manual for speakers, writers, teachers, and debate-minded readers. The book is designed for readers who want practical improvement rather than a theoretical survey of rhetoric. Writers, speakers, teachers, students, lawyers, politicians, and anyone who participates in public discussion can use it as a reference for sharpening both expression and criticism. Its concise chapter structure makes it browsable, so readers can enter at a familiar problem or a specific kind of dispute instead of reading it only from beginning to end. That format is particularly useful in education, where a teacher may want a short, concrete example of a move in argument rather than a broad lecture on logic. It is also useful in public life, where the challenge is often to respond quickly and precisely to misleading reasoning. What differentiates the book from many debate manuals is its combination of accessibility, historical depth, and stylistic attention. It does not reduce argument to formal logic alone, nor does it treat rhetoric as mere performance. Instead, it presents argument as a disciplined craft shaped by clarity, memory, tact, and intelligence. That makes the book unusually broad in application, while still tightly focused on actual argumentative practice. In conclusion, Farnsworth's Classical English Argument is best suited to readers who want a serious, compact study of persuasion, dispute, and logical maneuvering. It will be especially useful for writers, teachers, students of rhetoric, lawyers, debaters, speechwriters, and anyone who needs to interpret public argument with more precision. The book offers more than definitions of logical terms. It shows how arguments actually behave in practice, how they can be sharpened or sabotaged, and how style and civility affect their force. Its historical range is a major strength by drawing on English and American speeches and essays from the classical period of public debate. It gives readers a sense that argument can be both rigorous and artistically controlled. Compared with many modern books on critical thinking, it is less formulaic and more literary, yet still highly practical. Compared with general rhetoric handbooks, it is more focused on the internal machinery of disagreement. That combination makes it stand out. It is not simply a guide to winning debates. It is a study of what makes argument intelligible, memorable, and worthy of respect. If you would like to support Ward Farnsworth, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.